سورة الانشقاق. In this surah, is narrated by Bukhari and Muslim, عن أبي رافع رضي الله تعالى عنه قال صليت مع أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه العتمة, meaning صلاة العشاء. He prayed صلاة العشاء with Abu Huraira. And so Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه was leading the prayer and he was reading إِلَى السَّمَاءُ انشقت, this surah. And so he prostrated in the middle of the surah, and we're coming to that verse where Abu Huraira here prostrated in that. And so Abi Rafi, he says, فَقُلْتُ لَهُ, he asked him about this, فَقَالْ سَجَدْتُ خَلْفَ أَبِي الْقَاسِمِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَلَا أَزَالُ أَسْجُدُ بِهَا حَتَّى أَلْقَى, meaning that I prayed behind Abu al-Qasim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he recited this, he prostrated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the midst of the recitation. And so he said that I will continue to prostrate in this surah until I meet him. This surah has those themes about the end of time, the recurring theme that we see in the Meccan verses, the end of time, the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also speaks in this surah, and we saw this word come up before, the kadh of the human being is the human toil, the toil of life and the hardships of life, and whether that toil and hardship and work is either for good or whether that hardship is for bad. But everybody is in a toil in their life. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disgraces the kuffar in the end of the surah for their choice to not accept the Quran and not accept their iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their belief in the hereafter.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا السماء انشقت وأذنت لربها وحقت وإذا الأرض مدت وألقت ما فيها وتخلت وأذنت لربها وحقت يا أيها الإنسان إنك كادح إلى ربك كدحا فملاقيه فأما من أوتي كتابه بيمينه فسوف يحاسب حسابا يسيرا وينقلب إلى أهله مسرورا وأما من أوتي كتابه وراء ظهره فسوف يدعو ثبورا ويصلى سعيرا إنه كان في أهله مسرورا إنه ظن أن لن يحور بلى إن ربه كان به بصيرا فلا أقسم بالشفق والليل وما وسق والقمر إذا اتسق لتركبن طبقا عن طبق فما لهم لا يؤمنون وإذا قرئ عليهم القرآن لا يسجدون بل الذين كفروا يكذبون والله أعلم بما يوعون فبشرهم بعذاب أليم إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم أجر غير ممنون.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the surah, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشقت. Like we said, the beginning, the إِذَا means if, and here in the translation it says when, but inshallah, we need to pay attention to where the jawab of إِذَا is going to come in. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشقت, when the heavens split asunder, and they tear open. If the heavens, and when that day happens, then what? وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ وَأَذِنَتْ أَذِنَتْ means to give permission, right? أذنت لك means I gave permission. وأذنت لربها. Here what it means is that it's humbly listening to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وأذنت to its Lord لربها وحقت. And it must do so. And you'll notice that that verse وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ is the same verse as verse 5. وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. And it's talking about two things. The heavens, إِلَى السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ. When the earth is spread forward وَأَلْقَتْ. And it casts away مَا فِيهَا, what's in it, وَتَخَلَّتْ, and it becomes empty. And then the earth, وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. And it listens and obeys its Lord, and it must do so. And you'll notice here that the heavens and the earth, it's almost as if they're both obedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they have that soul, that they're listening to Allah azza wa jal. And that shows us, in fact, the nobleness of these creations, and that they are in tune with their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when the heavens are cleft asunder, they're listening to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they must do so. And the earth will rip open, and it must listen, and it listens to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it must do so. And this just gives you more of the life of the sky, the life of the earth, and how its connection is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In verse 3, وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ, we also saw that in the verse, what happens to the earth? And this is actually an exam question. The earth becomes flattened, meaning everything that's upon it is destroyed and knocked away and blown away. وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ, that it's spread forward, stretched forth, and that's because of the destruction that will happen on top of that earth. Such as the mountains that we saw being blown away. Obviously, if there's any buildings and structures, they will also get blown away like the mountains will be destroyed. And we also, from the other surahs, we saw that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرُ الْأَرْضُ. So the earth that we know now will be different after the end of this apocalypse and that end of the world destruction. And the people will be resurrected on an open, flat plain after the destruction that happens. In verse 4, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَلْقَتْ, that the earth, أَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. And here the word alqat, to cast out, it actually has the meaning of abortion. When something's being aborted, it can have that same wording. And here that shows even like the horror of, in the olden days, if they had an abortion, something could actually cause them to have an abortion. Meaning, a fear will come upon the woman, and then she'll miscarry. And it's almost as if the earth, because of its fear, it's like a miscarry, but that is just giving a glimpse of the horror of that day. وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. And it becomes empty. All the graves become empty, and the people are resurrected. وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. So the graves become empty, and the earth is listening and obeying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَحُقَّتْ. And it must do so. And so the jawab إِذَا, I won't trick you, inshallah, here. It's dropped. I won't ask you where it is, but it's dropped. And in the Arabic language, and even in other language, when the answer to idha is dropped, it pulls the person into concentration more. And it's calling for people who understand more than normal, because they have to recognize that it's here. So if we said, for example, if you come on Monday, I'll give you a cookie. Right? And then if I said, if you come on Monday, dot, 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 you'll say, if I come on Monday, what? Right? And that's just in our human speech. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ. And then after verse 5, it's like dot, dot, dot. Then the person says, then what? And so the answer comes in their mind. That the human will meet hardship and horror of a kind that no mind has ever imagined. That the human being still meet hardship and horror of a kind that they've never imagined. And when it's dropped, you look at the next verse to see what, or like they say, the taqdeer, what is in the brackets. And so in verse 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ, We saw that in the other surah, the Ya Ayyuhal Insan, here it comes up again. And these surahs are similar in their style. Ya Ayyuhal Insan, innaka kadihun. Indeed, innaka kadihun. And the word kadh is the toil and the hardship. Innaka kadihun. Even though it's not there in English, I'll explain right now. Innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqi. That you're toiling to your Lord a toil, so you're going to meet Him. And here in the translation, it says you're returning towards your Lord with your deeds and actions. So this meaning here, what it means is that innaka kadihun, that you're toiling and you're moving forward in your life, and that toil and that hardship arrives at your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning you come after all this hardship with your good deeds, good and bad, and you come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَمُلَاقِي, and you're going to meet Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when that meeting happens, when the person standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after that whole life of kadh, of toil and actions, good and bad, then they stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He'll remind them everything that they did, the good and bad. And right now, as we're listening to this speech, we're basically in the midst of our kadh. We're in the middle of that kadh. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَى رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِي. That that's the end, to meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And right now we're in the middle of that toil. And so the person looks at how much do they have left in their lives. We're not saying that this is the middle and then you have another 20, 30 years. It might be, in fact, the end of it. Maybe someone would go home, they're a little tired from the program. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. But Allah azza wa jalla only knows when the person's time comes to the end. And when that person has that opportunity to come back to Allah Azza wa Jal, he shouldn't delay it. Because the kadh arrives with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we don't know when that will happen to a person. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in these verses speaks about the books. Because the books will be sent down, وَالصُّحُفُ نُشِرَتْ. We saw in the other verse, when the books are handed out, and the person will receive the book either in their right hand, or they will receive their book in their left hand. Remember someone on the surveys, they actually, because I was telling jokes before in some other program, and then he said, look, I don't like your jokes, and I wish if you could, you know, if you're going to tell a joke, it has to be, it should be universally funny. So I thought to myself, I go, if it's universally funny, that means that if I tell a joke, everyone in the universe has to laugh, right? And I said, that's an enormous standard to, I said, but I'll try my best, inshallah. But what I benefited from that is that here, this taking of the book in the right hand is the universal symbol of happiness. Universal symbol of happiness. Just to take the book with the right hand and as coming in verse number 10, that the universal symbol of destruction is to take the book in a person's left hand behind their back. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ. As for the person who's given their book, بِيَمِينِهِ, in their right hand, فَسَوْفَ, that surely, يُحَاسَب, he will be put on trial or receive an easy reckoning. حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. حِسَاب is like, if you go to a store in some Arab country, they'll say to the person, what's the hisab? How much do I owe you? Meaning this is the reckoning. And so here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying they will have an easy reckoning. Hisaban yasira wa yanqalibu, and he'll go back ila ahlihi, to his family, masrura. And so many times in the examinations of the dunya, these things, these moments are reflected. Someone gets a good mark on their exam, and they run home to their parents, and they say, look mom, look what I got on my, and then the mom, I know in Egypt they'll do the zargata, you know, and they do that, another thing. I can't do it. I've lost. It's impossible for me to do it. But they'll just ignite and they, you know, it's just from the happiness. And the people are racing home in joy to the parents that look, I've passed my test. وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. And actually when a person thinks about this day and thinking about the kind of sounds and feelings they would feel, they might actually find themselves laughing out loud in the extreme happiness that here I am on the day of judgment and the book is in my right hand. the ultimate success. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a book in our right hand. In Bukhari and Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there's no one who will be reckoned on the day of judgment except that they'll be destroyed. And so Aisha radiallahu anha, she said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah make me a ransom for you. Doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? And then she recited this verse, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفِ حَسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ مَسْرُورًا. Because it talks about the reckoning here. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, anybody that receives the reckoning will be destroyed. And so she said, well, what about this verse? And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he replied, that is the laying out of the deeds, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remind the person, you did this on this day, and you did this on this day. And remind them of all the blessing and everything that they did. And the person will admit it and they'll have no excuse for what they did. He said, أَمَّا مَنْ نُوْقِشَ الْحِسَابِ. As for the person who's debated in that, they'll be destroyed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in surah, like we saw in surah At-Takathur, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. So this is the hisab yasir, if it doesn't go into the questioning. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everybody will have that moment where they're reminded of the blessings, reminded of the sins that they did, that are standing between them. But if it's ever asked to them, why did you do this? The human will have no excuse. And there's no excuse for them. If the debate begins, they'll be destroyed. Because there is no excuse for a human being. And the hisab yasir is just to be reminded of those actions, as we see in the hadith, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the person admits to it, he sees fire on his right, fire on his left, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I covered and veiled those deeds from the people in the dunya, and today I forgive you for those deeds. وَأَنَا أَغْفِرُهَا لَكَ الْيَوْمِ. That is the hisab yasir. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verse 10, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ الظَّهْرِ. As for the person, وَأَمَّا, as for, مَنْ أُوتِيَ, who's given كِتَابَهُ, his book, وَرَاءَ الظَّهْرِ, behind his back. And so you see here that the person's even embarrassed to show it to anyone. When I was growing up, when the bad kids in our class would get a bad report card, not only would they put it behind their back, they would tie a rock to it and throw it onto the roof of the school and tell their parents, like they had no chance of showing it to their parents. Right? And here the person is almost hiding it. They don't want anybody to see it. And they've received it in their left hand. Like you said, this is the ultimate sadness. Unlike any other sadness, that the person realizes right there that his road is to hellfire from now. And أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِ, behind his back. فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُو ثُبُورًا. Which is a very interesting verse here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that he'll invoke his destruction. Meaning that he'll say, may I be destroyed. He'll curse himself for the path of life that he took. Thubur is destruction and punishment that the person calls on himself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse about this thubur. This is Surah Furqan. Write it down. Surah Furqan, verse 12 to 14. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about hellfire.
إِذَا رَأَتْهُمْ مِنْ مَكَانٍ بَعِيدٍ سَمِعُوا لَهَا تَغَيُّظًا وَزَفِيرًا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when hellfire sees them from a distant place, سَمِعُوا, they hear its fury and roaring. And here you see when I was talking about hellfire being like a beast, hellfire sees them. And then they hear the raging of the fire. سَمِعُوا لَهَا تَغَيُّضًا وَزَفِيرًا.
وَإِذَا أُلْقُوا مِنْهَا مَكَانًا ضَيِّقًا مُقَرَّنِينَ دَعُوا هُنَالِكَ ثُبُورًا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and when they are thrown into a narrow place, being in chains, دَعَوْا, at that point, when they're about to be thrown into hellfire, دَعَوْا هُنَالِكَ ثُبُورًا. And that's the same word that's here, that at that point they call destruction upon themselves. They curse themselves. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
لا تدعوا اليوم ثبورا واحدا وادعوا ثبورا كثيرا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that don't curse yourself only once today. اُدْعُوا ثُبُورًا كَثِيرًا. Curse yourself again and again and again for this path that you've taken. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 11 says, فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُوا ثُبُورًا, that they will call upon destruction upon themselves. And no one would ever do that in the dunya. They never call destruction upon themselves. Here, they realize the mistake of what they've done and the mistake that they did on purpose. And now they call upon destruction at a time where it won't avail them. وَيَصْلَى سَعِيرًا, in verse 12, that they'll be thrown and shall enter. Sa'ir. Sa'ir is the burning. وَيَصْلَى سَعِيرًا, that they'll enter into the burning. Sa'ir is the hellfire. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, now, remember what I was talking about, here's the picture of the hereafter, the reality. You pop that balloon and now you're looking at them in this dunya, in this real life. In verse 13, Allah Azza wa Jalla says,
إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا,
that he used to be joyful, and among his people, among his family, in happiness and joy. Meaning he lived an entertaining life. And if you notice this, compare that to verse 9, the person who had their book in their right hand, they go to their family in joy. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this other person who lived their life in joy, now when the horror comes upon them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they used to live in joy. And so as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that Allah azza wa jal will not put two fears upon the person in their lives. Meaning, either they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dunya, and there will be no fear in the hereafter, or they do not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dunya, and they will fear Allah azza wa jal in the hereafter. But there will be no two fears for anyone. And so we actually see here, in verse 13, and there's other verses similar to it, is that one of the characteristics of the people of hellfire is that they were not afraid of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they felt safe from hellfire. The reason I mention this is because there's a lot of Muslims that also have this characteristic. They feel safe from the hellfire and they feel safe from the punishment of Allah. And that characteristic is a characteristic of someone in hellfire. That they live their life not afraid of this. And when we mention that the verses that are speaking about hellfire, it's not a good thing that that verse will happen and it doesn't shake anything in the person. That characteristic is not a believer's characteristic. And there are other verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, وَقَالُ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ, when they enter paradise, they say, الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنَّا الْحَزَنِ, that when they come into paradise, they say, all praises to Allah who made the sadness go away from us. Meaning they lived in sadness, lived their lives, not knowing did Allah accept it, did Allah not accept it. And that pushed them to work harder and harder until they entered paradise, and then the ease comes. But before that, the Muslim is working hard, struggling up the mountain pass, and worrying, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepting our actions or not? إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in verse 14, إِنَّهُ ظَنَّ أَن لَّن يَحُورَ, that he used to, he thought, إِنَّهُ ظَنَّ أَن لَّن يَحُورَ, حِوَار is like a debate, أَن لَّن يَحُورَ, that he will not come back to us. And here the word dhanna, in the Surah Al-Fiqh, which is actually our next Maghrib class, inshaAllah, dhanna, it means to have doubt. Dhanantu kadha means I thought this. And it's not a statement of certainty if someone like doesn't know if they have dhan, that did they break their wudu or not, then certain rulings apply in such a case that do not apply when the person has yaqeen, yes, I have wudu, or yes, I do not have wudu. So dhanna means I thought. It was in his mind, he wasn't really sure, but he said, hey, let me go with this belief that there's not going to be a hereafter, and let me live my life in joy and entertaining myself. إِنَّهُ ظَنَّ أَن لَّن يَحُورَ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلَى, that indeed إِنَّ رَبَّهُ كَانَ بِهِ بَصِيرًا. Indeed, his Lord, رَبَّهُ, his Lord, كَانَ بِهِ, was always watchful of him. كَانَ بِهِ بَصِيرًا, رَصِيرًا, is ever holding him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the beginning to the end, was watching that person and everything that they did. In that verse 15, you'll notice me picking out on these ayat. And there are other ayat that a person can make like models in their life. They're about to sin, and then they say something to themselves like that verse, فَلَا إِنَّ رَبَّهُ كَانَ بِهِ بَصِيرًا. That indeed, that the Lord was ever watching them, was always seeing them. A person reminds himself again and again, recites that to himself, they will desist from the sin that they're about to commit. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again here, the qasam comes in the middle of the surah, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالشَّفَقِ. When we said about the لَا أُقْسِمُ, the negation is actually a strengthening of the affirmation of the qasam. فَلَا أُقْسِمُ. So I swear by the shafaq, the afterglow of the sunset, the redness of the sky when it's gone down. وَاللَّيْلِ, and by the night. وَمَا وَسَقْ, whatever it covers in its darkness. مَا وَسَقْ. وَالْقَمَرِ, and by the moon. إِذَا اتَّسَقْ, when it's full. And so the jawab al-qasam is, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testifying, by the afterglow, by the night, and by the moon, لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَمْ طَبَقٍ. And just basically, لَتَرْكَبُنَّ, it says travel, تَرْكَبُنَّ, and it's not, you see the emphasis of the lam before, and the noon with the shadda, is for sure, the tarkabunna means you will ride. And it says their travel. The tarkabunna, you'll be riding. Tabaqan am tabaq. Stage after stage. In verse 17 here, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّيْلِ وَمَا وَسَقْ. The ulama said, like, in during the day, you'll see people out in marketplaces, people running around, bustling. Like we said, if someone is in a blimp or something, they're looking down upon the earth, we'll see the sun come up and people come to life. Almost like a flower blossoming, people running around, the beltways packed with cars, and everybody's going about their business. But as the night comes down, and you'll notice this, they'll say rush hour, the hoveling, the high occupancy vehicles, it only goes up to, what, 6:30 or something? And then after that, they know that the night's coming in, and the night, by the virtue of the night, is bringing the people back. And it's closing up, so that if that same blimp looked out at 2 o'clock in the morning, you'll see the city dying, closing, and it all being gathered. And the same Lord that can do that to the humans, no matter who they are, every single day, has the ability to gather the human beings in the resurrection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَمْ طَبَقٍ. The طَبَق, the riding or the traveling of tabaq is basically like a stage upon stage, and each stage will, the intensity of the stage, it will get more severe and more horrific as it goes further and further into the afterlife. So the ulama mentioned that it starts with death. The first stage is death to the grave, to the resurrection, to the gathering, the hush, to the stages of the Day of Judgment and its horrors, and then to the final resting place, either in Jannah or either in Hellfire, and there is no third place. So I say it again, from death to the grave, to resurrection, to the gathering, to the stages of the Day of Judgment with its horrors, to the final resting place, either in Jannah or either in Hellfire. And it's interesting here in the testification, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the day and then talking about the night. And this is another sign that every day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing the changing of His creation to the people. Meaning that day that we see, in a few hours it will become night. And the same Lord that can change the creation in front of our eyes can change our creation after we're dead to resurrect us and bring us back, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after all these signs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَا لَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. That what's wrong with them, or what's the matter with them, لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. That they won't believe. وَإِذَا قُرِئَ. And when the Qur'an is recited to them, قُرِئَ means recited. قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ لَا يَسْجُدُونَ. And when the Qur'an is recited to them, they do not fall in prostration. And do not bow their heads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this verse, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited it, he prostrated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like we saw Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Ever after that, he would recite, if he recited the surah, he would prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the reality of why they're not doing this. بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُكَذِّبُونَ. But indeed, بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُكَذِّبُونَ, that they're lying about it. يُكَذِّبُونَ. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ, and Allah knows best. بِمَا يُوعُونَ, what they're gathering of their good deeds and bad deeds. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what they're doing. بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُكَذِّبُونَ. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يُوعُونَ. And then in verse 24, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ. So give them, and the bushra, if you say that in Arabic, you say, ya bushra hadha ghulam. Someone has a baby, for example, you say, like, glad tidings, it's a baby boy or a baby girl. Bushra is a word of glad tidings. And almost here, it's a mockery of them. فَبَشِّرْهُمْ, give them the glad tidings, بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ, with a painful punishment. A mockery of them and a belittlement of them for the path that they chose. فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses is talking about the hard-headedness of the kuffar to disbelieve again and again and again. Like we mentioned, these are people who after they got the message and they fought the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they believed in it and they were convinced of it, but they had desires that wouldn't allow them to accept these things. Their leadership or whatever they had, or their arrogance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Naml, verse 14, جَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوَّ. Where Allah Azza wa Jalla says that they disbelieved in them, in those verses, وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ. And their own souls were certain and convinced of the truthfulness of it. ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوَّ, that they did this, ظُلْمًا, out of injustice, وَعُلُوَّ, and out of arrogance over the people. Meaning that they were completely convinced that it was the truth, but they only did it out of injustice and only out of arrogance. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 25 says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ, except those, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, who believed, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and did the righteous deeds, لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ, that they have a reward that will never come to end, i.e. in Jannah. Regarding like the talking about the family, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, or she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding, like, will she be with him on the Day of Judgment or what? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there's certain stages of the Day of Judgment where no one will care about anyone else. And then he, you know, like the Sirat, someone's on the bridge, other places that they don't care about anybody. In fact, they'd wish everybody would be in hellfire so long as they're saved. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because some people they ask about, will my children be with me? Will my, the loved ones be with you? If those loved ones follow the way of righteousness, as well as that person is following the way of righteousness, in the end, they'll join with one another. I'm not saying that that's the meaning of this specific verse, but there are other verses such as in Surah At-Tur, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that those who believe and the children followed them in iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alhaqna bihim dhurriyatahum, that we join up their children with them in the hereafter. And so if someone truly loved their children and they want to be with them in the hereafter, then their path is to make sure those children are following the path of righteousness. And that's out of, so that their love can continue into the hereafter. And it's not just a dunya moment. Allah Almighty.